Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street, and Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. Our play-by-play call of the day, I thought the Blue Jays had a lot of highlights last night, yet we're going to go with the Astros.
It's this ball high and deep. If it stays fair, he's got a career high in RBIs. It is a two-run home run for Breggy. What a day for Alex Bregman. Two home runs, career high, six runs batted in. And the Astros now lead 12-3.
Todd Callis with the call. Bregman also had two doubles to go with his two home runs. There weren't enough Toronto highlights?
There were, but they didn't beat the Yankees 21-5 last night. It felt like it, but it wasn't the score.
It was the final was 9-2. All right, so
correct.
Well, one more loss to Toronto, and that'll be six straight series they've lost. All right, they're rolling, aren't they? Yeah. Mike and Lansdale, how are you? Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you? I have a question. Looking at the polls, the coaches poll and the AP poll and Sports Illustrated and ESPN, out of all four polls, Penn State is unranked in every single one of them. Do you think that'll cause them to play with a chip on their shoulder this year?
I don't think anybody around here is paying attention to that. I think that they went through last season. They lost a lot of one-score games. And I think they want to atone for that. I think that's a bigger motivator than the polls. You know, you start talking about that stuff, you get distracted. By the end of the month of September, they will have had a conference game, three non-conference games, at Purdue, at Auburn among them. And at that point, you'll get a better read on where you really are. But then by the time the college football playoff poll comes out at the end of October, you'll really understand. Just take them, the old saying, Mike, one week at a time. Believe me, when you do what Jack and I do, you really do end up believing it because you can only broadcast one game at a time.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But what gets me is when you have that many teams ahead of you, I mean, it really doesn't leave much room for error, does it?
Sure it does, because look at last year's poll. You look at last year's poll. How many teams in the top 10 had lost by week three?
Yeah.
I mean, so suddenly out of nowhere, it starts to unscramble itself. It only becomes a problem of leapfrogging somebody when now you're getting to the end. And they've got enough schedule, Mike, between hosting Ohio State, playing at Michigan, and the other games they have in the schedule, playing a game at Auburn. They've got enough schedule where, in the end, you take care of business, people will notice exactly what you're doing.
Okay. All right, well, good luck this year. And I see nine wins, but, of course, I'm hoping for more.
Right. I think a lot of people are hoping for more, Mike. But, yeah, I appreciate it very much.
All right, enjoy your weekend. Thanks.
You too, Mike. Thank you. All right, so that's Brett Cecil. Let's get to him now. because he follows college football, puts out a publication now in hardcover. Brett, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate the invite on. It's the best time of year to talk college football. Everybody's optimistic. Everybody's undefeated. And excited to break it down with you guys.
How excited were you that the edition has come out in hardcover for the first time in 10 years?
Yeah, it was really surreal to see it come to life. For the listeners out there, it's Pick Six Previews. It's my college football preview magazine. It was digital for the first 10 seasons, and then here in 2022, brought it to life with a paper copy. So, yeah, very surreal. It's gotten a lot of national attention and feedback, and it's been great to connect with so many fans.
All right, so let's break it down. I mean, we all know there's so much movement with transfers. What does it take for you to track everybody, and how does it change the dynamics of some teams?
Oh, yeah, the transfer portal has been a huge change to the game in the preseason magazine game. And, you know, this is a one-man company. It's a one-man show. I'm doing all 66 Power 5 teams, all five conferences. So that was a big enough test to begin with. But then now you throw in this massive player movement, and it's not just a couple backups here and there. These are star players, All-American guys, all-conference guys. Totally changing the complexion of rosters year over year. So you start to use the baseline recruiting rankings a lot less because the players are moving more. You really got to dig into each position group, each team, and each player, really. It's a player-by-player level. So very detailed, very, you know, it's a big task. And, yeah, you see changes in the conferences and divisions a lot quicker now. It's overnight compared to stacking two or three recruiting classes in a row to change a program. It's overnight.
All right, so because of all this movement, who changed for the better, in your opinion, and who didn't?
Yeah, well, change for the better. You have a couple of teams at the top of the transfer rankings. It's USC was the headliner. They brought in a lot of skill talent, quarterback and receiver and running back. Ole Miss, you know, Lane Kiffin, he calls himself the Portal King, and he really backed it up this year with the number two transfer class in America. Some headliners there. And then some of the traditional programs, your Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama, all placing in the top 10 transfer ranks. Nebraska had a huge transfer group. And then a team that has really ignored the transfer portal is Clemson, actually. They're very anti-transfer.
And yes.
While the other superpower programs use it to their advantage and they patch up some roster holes and some depth issues, Clemson has ignored that. So I'm wondering if that's going to catch up to them this year.
In fact, let's get to the USC part of it for a moment. In fact, they have 53 new players at USC. But what interests me is J.D. Daniels is at West Virginia. Keaton Slovis is at Pitt. Jackson Dart is at Ole Miss. Plus, they have their own quarterbacks. I mean, USC's turning out starting quarterbacks. They ought to have a tournament. Once the backyard brawl is over with, the winner plays Ole Miss to see who is the best USC transfer quarterback.
Yeah, they're almost halfway to a whole Elite 11. The best 11 quarterbacks out there. They can have just the USC invitation on. And, yeah, you're right. And that's why I'm actually shying away from picking USC to win the Pac-12. I know they're the Vegas favorite. I don't have them winning it. I picked Utah. When you look at USC, everyone talks about, like I did, with the quarterback and the receivers and the running backs, they've always had that. That hasn't been their problem recently. It's been in the trenches. It's been, can they block, can they tackle? And I don't know that they fixed that overnight. And
right.
They're sold on their coordinator.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's one of the keys for them. They have the glory guys, but do they have enough of the trench warfare guys that can make a difference? Utah goes into the season the highest-ranked preseason ranking for a Pac-12 team since Washington in 2016. What is it about them you like? What are a couple of holes he has to fill?
Yeah, absolutely. It's their highest rank in school history, too, their highest preseason rank at number 7. And they're my pick to win the conference and to make the playoff, which no one else has. And what I like about them is they have a proven track record on defense. Morgan Scalley is one of the best in the country at developing players. They don't have 5 stars, but they bring in high 3 stars and they develop them into NFLers. And that's going to continue on defense. But specifically, the offense takes a huge step forward. You saw them come to life last year after they switched quarterbacks. They played playoff caliber ball all the way down the stretch after that moment. And they also took Ohio State down to the wire in that Rose Bowl. I know they ended up coming a little bit short, but
right.
They battled against a great roster. So it's great quarterback play, great tight ends, innovative coordinators, the whole package, and a manageable schedule.
Well, a big reason they lost control of the Rose Bowl is they lost a quarterback. I mean, during the course of the game. That didn't help. All right, so now let's get to the Big Ten. And in particular, obviously, the story is going to be in the East. So how do you break down the East?
Yeah, in the East this year, I think it's a two-team race at the top. I think it's Ohio State and Michigan. I think Ohio State gets some revenge this year and goes back to the playoff. But, you know, with Ohio State, we know what they have on offense. It's one of the best in the country, if not number one, with C.J. Stroud there. The defense is the question mark. How quickly can new coordinator Jim Knowles improve that unit? I think it'll be pretty quick. They have a lot of five stars stockpiled there. With Michigan, I think they have some staying power towards the top. I don't think it was a one-year wonder. I think that their offensive line is the strongest in the country. They won the Joe Moore Award last year for that unit and four starters back. And then at third place, I went with Penn State. I know the trendy pick is Michigan State, but I go with Penn State here. They were a lot stronger than their record showed last year. Five losses, all by a score or less, and they actually held leads in all five of them in the second half. So I know we can't play the what-if game, but that was a team that statistically was better than they showed. Great track record on defense. The question for Penn State will be their offensive line. That's kind of been I sound like a broken record. It's been the same question since the sanction years, but that position group will go a long way, and maybe they can move up the ladder a little bit.
Right. Jim Knowles, I think, was brought in for a primary reason to Ohio State, to make them a better run defense. And when Oklahoma State played Notre Dame in the bowl game, now it's different personnel, obviously, but they held Notre Dame to 46 yards rushing. I mean, to me, Brett, that's got to be his primary goal, because they already have enough guys in the back end to play in the secondary. Can they stop a running game?
That's exactly right. And when you watch Ohio State last year, they had success against almost every opponent. It was really just two that stood out. It was Oregon and Michigan, their two losses. And what those two teams did well was power run game. It was physical offensive lines, and they ran the ball at will.
And Minnesota ran the ball, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Mo Ibrahim ran really well against them. And, you know, if he doesn't get hurt, Minnesota probably has a better year. But that's three teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's definitely the concern is can they defend the run better? And they'll be challenged right away against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, you just mentioned them. They have one of the best offensive lines in the country. That's their identity as an offense. I mean, we all watch them. It's smash mouth. It's a little bit more old-fashioned, slower tempo. But they're going to be tested right away. And then that's the opener. And then the closer, Michigan again, the revenge game. That's a great offensive line. So they're going to be tested.
It's also the first time in 4 years the game is going to be played in Columbus. A lot of people don't realize that, because there was no 2020 game. Michigan had to shut down after the Penn State game. All right. So when you look at the West, who sticks out in the Big Ten West to you?
Well, I'll tell you what, with the Big Ten West, I do all five conferences, and this was the hardest division to pick out of all the divisions, all the conferences. It's a logjam of really above-average teams. They're solid teams. I don't see any playoff contenders. I don't see any top 10 teams, but a lot of teams ranked in that 15 to 30 range. When you have Wisconsin, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Purdue, a lot of these teams had breakout seasons last year. Iowa winning the West, Minnesota and Purdue getting the 9-win marks. But I think we see a big jump in the win column by Nebraska. It's been well documented that they went 3-9 last year, but had 8 one-score losses, an NCAA record. They bring in a big transfer portal class too. But I ultimately went with Wisconsin. I think halfway through the season, they started to look like the Wisconsin of old. They found the next running back, Braylon Allen. Mm-hmm. The offensive line gelled, and Jim Leonard's defense took off. So I have Wisconsin to win it. But you could argue five different teams to win this thing. It's going to be really exciting to watch over there in the West.
By the way, the Thompson kid, the transfer from Texas, is the guy that ended up winning the Nebraska quarterback job. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting, because I think his dad played at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, dad played at Oklahoma, and they actually play Oklahoma there in week three. The old rivalry is renewed, Nebraska-Oklahoma in Lincoln. So, yeah, with Thompson, you lose a little bit of foot speed compared to Adrian Martinez, their former four-year starter. But I think you get better ball control and better turnover margin. I think that Martinez was hot and cold. You know, highlight plays and turnovers.
Right. In the SEC, a lot of people feel like Texas A&M is the one that's making the next step. And I've also heard others that think they're still an 8-4, 9-3 team. What do you think they are?
Yeah, I have Texas A&M ranked second in the SEC West. I think they're a very solid team. We saw them beat Alabama last year on the field. We saw them beat Alabama on the recruiting trail, and that really angered Alabama and Nick Saban. You saw that whole offseason drama. But with A&M, yeah, he's stacked four straight top five classes, recruiting classes, that is, and they're loaded at every position group. It's just a matter of who emerges at quarterback. That's really the big uncertainty. And then the underlying other issue is how quickly will these five stars develop? They signed an all-time record high 8 5 stars in this class, 18 top 100 players. So it's a matter of how quickly do those guys gel into all-conference caliber, or is it more of a 2 or 3 or 4 year project? So it's all about timing there. If it clicks right away, this is a playoff caliber team. Mm.
Yeah, it was Zach Calzada that led them to the win over Alabama last year. He's now at Auburn. And so Penn State does play Auburn third week on the Plains at Jordan-Hare. Brian Harsin went through a really rough opening season and went through a even rougher offseason. Where is Auburn right now?
Yeah, you nailed it. It was, you know, they started 6-2. They were ranked 13th in the country. And then from there, they lost out. They lost 5 straight games. And then the offseason started, and that was even worse. They lost both coordinators. There was the drama by the boosters trying to fire the first-year head coach. I think something like 23 transfers, players transferred out. So we saw a big talent exodus from Auburn, and that's going to really catch up to them this year. It feels weird to place them last in the SEC West, but that's how I ended up doing it. It was Auburn 7th in the West. Still top 40 nationally. It shows you how tough that division is, but I think that they're going to test Penn State in the trenches. I think Auburn has solid offensive line and defensive line play.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But overall, I still like Penn State to win.
All right, so now in the East, who can challenge Georgia in the East, and is Tennessee one of them?
I don't see an overnight change there. I think Georgia still has a huge gap. I know that's probably the boring radio answer, but Georgia is a superpower
program. I want accurate answers. I don't care if it's boring.
Yeah, because you've seen all week here, it's talking season. You hear about how Kentucky's going 11-1 and going to beat Georgia, and Tennessee's going to beat Georgia. I'm not buying any of those.
Neither am I.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. No. Georgia's on their own tier. But it was exciting going through the battle for second place. And you could argue Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, even South Carolina got some headlines bringing in Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma. I went with Tennessee. It's a really great offense. It's high tempo. They put up a ton of yards and points last year. I think that continues with Hendon Hooker back, the quarterback. They don't have it on defense yet, so I don't see a complete team yet.
ACC, is this Clemson's to lose?
Actually, no. I'm going against the grain here this year. Okay. Everyone else has Clemson as the consensus. I know they're the heavy Vegas favorites, but I'm going with NC State. And this is
I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people are big on NC State.
Yeah. You talk to some of their media, some of their coaches. They think it's their best team they've ever had in school history.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's complete on both sides of the ball. Devin Leary, the quarterback, 30 touchdowns, just 5 picks.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was top 10 statistically in my numbers. They bring everyone back. Good coordinators. There's a lot to like from NC State. And with Clemson, we hit on it earlier, they have ignored the transfer portal. Their quarterback is a big concern. And now they lose both coordinators, something that has been a trademark of their program has been coordinator continuity. But Venables is gone, and it's a whole new offense. So a lot of question marks. I think it's easy for national guys to just pencil them in every year, but you got to evaluate them a little deeper. I think there's some concerns.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the coordinator part, because that doesn't come up often enough. This, Clemson has been the bastion of stability with Brett Venables, Tony Elliott, and this is the first time that, Dabo's gone into the staff meeting and said, okay, let's all introduce each other again one more time.
No, it's so true, and Venables himself, will start there. He's one of the best defensive coordinators, best defensive minds in the game. So, I mean, right away you're having to replace a legend. I know that their new guys have high accolades and some high praise within the coaching circles, but it's one thing to be good on paper. It's another thing to have a proven track record of 10-plus years. So Venables is a big loss. Offensively, we talk about Clemson's dynasty. 6 of those years was first-round quarterback play with Deshaun Watson and then Trevor Lawrence. They had perfect quarterback play for so long. You take that away, and you're not a more normal roster now, and they had some flaws last year. So DJU, the quarterback, he was – still looking like he was struggling in the spring game. He was overthrowing guys, skipping them in the dirt. So I don't know that they fixed that overnight.
Hard to do. All right. So among the group of 6, or the ground, I threw the American in there. All right. Anybody in that group that will at least make people say, I think they're a potential, whatever. But who in that group is good enough to at least draw some buzz?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if they count because they're independent, but I would say BYU. This is a team that no one's talking about. I have them 15th in the country. And when you look at their schedule, I'm not saying they're going to win all of these, but they certainly have the opportunities. They play Arkansas, Baylor, Notre Dame, and Oregon. These are all top 15 teams. So they're going to have national spotlights. And when you look at them specifically, it's a physical, hard-nosed team. They bring back their top 15 defenders and 10 starters on offense. It's really just the running back that's gone. But really the whole team is back. They swept the Pac-12 last year going 5-0. This is a strong team, and no one's talking about them.
How good is Buckner, the Notre Dame quarterback? Do we have any clue?
Well, I think he's different stylistically than what we've seen from Notre Dame. Notre Dame historically has the pocket passer. You think of Ian Book's 4 years and last year with Jack Cohn. This guy's different. He's a dual threat. He's from Southern California. Younger. It's a young quarterback, a first-time starter. But I think he brings a new element to the offense. So that'll be intriguing to watch.
Brett, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on the hardcover publication, and good luck with it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bever Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Friday, so stock up for the weekend right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our weekly visit with the King.
King.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. How about you?
Good. Well, except there's a... I just put the TV on. There's a shooting at the Buckland Mall here in Manchester. So
wow.
That's not good. Another day, another shooting. But outside of that, I'm doing good. Very busy at work and too busy because it bores me when it gets that busy. But anyway, we're doing good. And I want to retire, but that's not going well. So what are you up to? I heard a really good interview on my way home with Dibble, Ron Dibble.
Rob Dibble, yeah. Yep, Rob's been on our show before, yep.
Yeah, I know. And the other guy, Tim Brando.
Yes, and Tim's been on the show many times.
Oh, we love Timmy Brando.
Yep.
Yeah, well, what a to have him on again, because what a good interview. And they were talking all about the Big Ten and all the different scenarios. Brando knows everything. He's all over the place on it, but the money is incredible. Holy crap. And Brando says the Big Ten will be on the air every Saturday. There will be a Big Ten game on from noontime until midnight on some station somewhere.
That's true.
On major stations, not just any station. CBS, NBC, ABC, ESPN. Well, I don't think ESPN will be Fox.
No,
it'll be on the Big Ten Network.
Oh. Yeah, Fox, NBC, Fox, CBS, NBC in that order.
Yep.
And then obviously BTN, Fox Sports 1. And who knows? I mean, with USC and UCLA, and who knows, maybe others, they could probably even get a 10:30 at night time slot and go to 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's what he was alluding to, that there'd be West Coast teams. So, I don't know if I like that. I don't. I mean, who the heck needs to watch football from noon to midnight? I mean, that, you know, get a lawyer, you get a divorce. So,
well,
seriously, how can you watch 12 hours of football? That gets boring after a while. So you want to watch your team and maybe another game. But after that, I mean, I'm watching a Hallmark movie or. You know what I'm into now? Well, beside Big Brother, the 2020 shows. The Datelines. You know,
yep.
I could plan the perfect murder. Unbelievable. I know how to bury a body. You'll never find it.
my almighty!
I mean, seriously, all elements you really shouldn't brag about.
So, it's just, man, those shows are wild. A lot of Pennsylvania people. They're on 2020 Dateline. You got
I know. I know.
Yeah, it's a beautiful state, but there's some whacked out dudes there running around. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of Pennsylvania stories on it.
Yeah.
If you want to study the bury of Frankie Montas, that'd be great.
Oh, you just, I mean, you're so consumed with hate.
Add Aaron Hicks to that, too.
Oh, you're just consumed. I mean, because. Okay, they aren't performing to your specifications. They've lost 5 consecutive series. They've only won 9 games since the All-Star break. You become bitter.
How far ahead are they?
Well, they're up 9 games on Tampa and Toronto in their division. But...
Way ahead. But for them, it's going to be about the postseason. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If they don't succeed in the postseason, it's not going to be a successful year, especially considering the number of wins that they racked up during the year. So it would be the equivalent of the year Seattle won 116 games and then lost. And when they did lose, their 116 games wins became just a footnote.
Yeah.
Except this would be worse because at least the Mariners got to the ALCS, where the Yankees, I don't think, can win a playoff series right now.
You're just so mad.
I'm still going to put my money on the Yankees. They're going to peak in September when it counts, and I don't care how many games they win.
I hope you're right.
As long as they beat the Red Sox, I give a crap about the rest of them. I hate the Red Sox. They suck. So, anyway.
How about the...
They're the most hateful fan in the world. You can't make up how hateful they are. They're just so happy that the Yankees are losing. And then... They play Pittsburgh and win the series, and they're like, we're on our way. You know, I'm like, holy crap. Oh, okay, goody, goody. So,
you lost 8-2 to them last night. Stop it.
They what?
Excuse me. The Yankees split with them. Okay?
With
the Red
Pittsburgh?
Sox won 2-1.
I know, yeah.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know.
The Yankees haven't played well in a while. Don't sit there and like, don't sit there and do that. You split with them. I mean, you only got the 16 runs in the one game because they pitched 2 position guys.
Oh, but that's nothing to do with that. This is Boston continuing to be its own crazy self, its own spoiled fan base self. Stop.
But they've won 6 of 8, all right? And, by the way, 2 of the 3 were against the Yankees. You know, they're in that, like, weird area.
That's not playing well.
A gray area right now where they can go totally south and end up 5 games under 500, or they could end up being the 3rd playoff team. They're really in a really odd area right now.
They're going to win the World Series. The Red Sox are so great.
So. They get into the playoffs, they'll be a first round elimination. They don't have.
I'll say one thing: they get a first baseman, they start winning, and they got a first baseman. So, I think they're a very flawed team. So
totally flawed.
They beat the Yankees, but the Yankees are slumping. Everybody's beating the Yankees, so it's not that big of a deal. And they beat Pittsburgh. The Red Sox are just, I don't know.
They'll eventually get Trevor Story back, which will help.
Help what? What's he done? He'll be bad in 210.
But, I mean, he'll help them. He'll give them more power in the lineup. Because they've had too many guys out.
Three good weeks all year.
Yeah. They've had too many guys out.
That guy. And Trevor Story's been nothing but trouble for them because of, I'm horrible with names, a shortstop.
Bogarts.
Huh? Bogarts. Bogarts should get a good contract, and they gave it to Story. In Colorado.
You know what I've said about Heim Bloom? I'm telling you right now, he'd be the first guy I'd let go. I mean, I'm sorry, because I don't think he knows how to handle a team that's in a big market. He has no clue how to do it. I mean,
I think you're right. He thinks it's a big notch on the stick if he can get a team into the playoffs with a low budget.
He's nuts.
But they don't win a World Series. They just make the playoffs. Not going to fly in Boston.
That's not good enough.
At all.
That's not good enough.
You know?
Not good enough. That's not good enough. Right?
Series in Boston. You can't. They don't want to make the playoffs. Who cares? There's an extra playoff spot now. Big deal.
Right. They have resources. You have to take advantage of the resources. I mean, look at Brian Cashman and what he's done with the Yankee bad example. All right.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
We'll come back with headlines in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And our last one of the summer, because we return to picks next week, because we'll pick college football. This is it. Till we get to next summer. So, Steve, let's start it off with you.
High school football season begins a week from tonight. Several defensive players say they see what the suit sees.
There you go. I'm looking forward to it. And our first high school roundtable next Thursday, too.
A reason to live.
King, what do you got?
I'm kind of torn with the Deshaun Watson thing. I think he should have got 6 games and that's it. So, I don't understand why the NFL went back and redid its whole thing. And the only reason I'm saying that is guys like Ben Roethlisberger got 6 games. He's a rapist, you know. He's a horrible human being. Who's the guy with the dogs? Michael Vick, you know. And I'm not defending what Deshaun Watson did, but I find it highly unusual if you're a massage therapist and somebody offers to fly you in somewhere. Why are you doing it, you know? And it went through a court of law, and it got thrown out of court because there was no evidence. And how does the NFL decide that they're smarter than a court of law? So that's my take on it. Hello?
Well, I'm going to keep going there with the NFL. And everyone's been all over infatuated with where Tom Brady is when he's taking like this personal time off from the Bucks, and was Todd Bowles today who was non-committal on when Brady's going to return. Of course, he's going to be back for Week 1, but so I think there's going to be a new theme game of. Do you remember? You guys remember Where in the World Is Carmen Sandiego? Did you watch that in like the 90s? I did as a kid. So there's going to be a new show called Where in the World Is Tom Brady?
I wonder what it is.
Everyone thinks it's him doing his taping of The Masked Singer that he's supposed to do, apparently, for Fox.
He's on The Masked Singer?
Yeah, Fox, when he signed that 10-year deal with Fox to eventually go in the number one booth. They want to put them all over the place, and apparently I'm making an appearance on The Masked Singer as one of them. So that's what everybody says he's doing.
That's unacceptable.
I don't know if it's true or not.
If he had a personal thing with his family, I get it. But if he's just making more money, I don't get it. You either commit to something or you don't. So nobody's bigger than the game. So unless you have a family issue, then that's different. If it's not a family issue and he's just out making money, then time to retire. You know, not fair to your team.
Steve, what do you got next?
Yankees hired Dave Dombrowski as general manager. Say they want somebody who actually can win.
Oh, my God. They're nine games off.
I wouldn't want him anyway. He's barely done anything competent with the Phillies.
They're nine games off. Let's fire the front office.
Dave Dombrowski would not be my pick at all. He's done a mediocre job at best with the Phillies.
You know what's so funny about this? Is it's meant to be funny, and you two think it's serious. That's what's so funny about it to me. It's meant to be a joke. And you go, oh, come on. My God's sake, guys, it's a joke.
King, what do you got next?
It's okay.
The Big Ten should add UConn to their...
Perfect.
That's a W for everybody.
No. You're all wrong on that. Okay? You want to add Hawaii. Okay?
No. You're going to figure out... The Big Ten. Since everybody else is going to your house to play, we want to go too.
Okay. Okay. No. I want Hawaii in because you got to think about me on the road trip.
There you go. I agree. 110%.
That's not fair. I'm your brother. You should bring your name. Do you need a passport to go to Hawaii?
No. I went there for my honeymoon.
In fact, Hawaii just dropped all the mask mandates. They were the last one to do it.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yes, they did. They were the last ones to do it. Because my good friend, and Kevin knows them, Ray and Judy Caravan, they go 3 months to Hawaii every year. And it was, they were locked down. It was hard to get in, hard to get out.
I know them, or who knows?
Yeah, you know the Caravans. You know Ray and Judy. You've met them. Ray and Judy Caravan. You've met them.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I just want to see them play at Aloha Very Stadium. Nice That'd people. Be fun.
Aloha Stadium is being torn down.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Although it is about time, though. I forgot that this was coming up.
I think they're building a smaller stadium on that site, but they're tearing it down. And Aloha Stadium is not far from Pearl Harbor.
No, it's not. It's literally right across the street.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually, I do remember that. It's a government project because the government actually, I learned about this when we were down there, the government actually owns Aloha Stadium. And they were talking about building a smaller venue like to fit like 35,000 or less or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I knew it was in the works. I didn't realize it became official till just now. All right.
They say that Aloha Stadium's redevelopment is years away.
Hey, y'all been listening to Sean Carey?
I talked to Sean Saturday night.
But I mean listening to him. He's doing the stadium announcement. I've been listening to
him. That's right. He's back at Lomity. Yeah.
I think he was on last night. He was on the night before. I forgot. He gave me a schedule, but I forgot.
He's got four games total, maybe five.
Yep. He's living his dream. I'm happy for him. He's a good guy. He's in the parade. I saw pictures of him in the parade. There was a rooster in it. And I want to do that. That's a bucket list thing. I want to be like a mascot or something.
That was the suit, by the way. All right.
Speaking of the Little League World Series, this is my other headline. Tennessee today, I guess, is taking on Utah right now for Utah's first game since Easton Oliverson had the accident.
Yep.
They took their hats off. They wore Utah hats, ran to the dugout, and saluted the team. And Easton's younger brother got a big standing ovation because he's taking his spot on the roster.
Yep. Wow. That's great. And he's by the way, he's walking.
Yep.
So it's you know, so there's some good news.
So what's the prediction for Penn State and where they're going to play this year?
Well, we'll just keep that low-key for a little bit. They're going to scrimmage tonight. Jack and I are going to go over the scrimmage tonight, and then they got another practice tomorrow.
Who?
Themselves.
Oh, they should win.
You win if, A, you do well in the scrimmage on both sides and nobody gets hurt. It was in this scrimmage last year that Sal Wormley got hurt.
That's right.
So...
I hope they're, how many games they got this year, minus a bowl game?
A dozen?
Yep. I'm looking at 10-2.
Okay.
10-2, got to be 10-2.
We'll see how it plays out.
They should be able to do it. I mean, they got a six-year quarterback.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, so...
And he's had a good preseason. And he's had a really good preseason, by the way.
Hey, he's a good guy. I love his spirit, you know?
Yep.
He loves to play for Penn State, and I love that. So, that's the player you want. So.
That's why I always laugh about that. Anytime a player transfers, oh, what? So disloyal. He stays for a sixth year. Why? Yeah. Make up your minds. What do you want?
he's just a good dude. I love watching him play. I hope he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, Penn State wins 10 games.
I got 9 as of right now. I'm leaning toward 9. Yeah.
I'm just concerned about the... I make the Dombrowski joke, and the two of you went insane. I thought this was supposed to be a comedy segment.
We're very sensitive. We've had a free ride all year, and now we can't get a hit.
We've dealt with a lot in the last 2 weeks.
Guys are awfully touchy. I mean, my goodness. I mean, what's next? I mean, Giancarlo Stanton can only hit home runs up to the second inning?
If he could even get back on the field right now.
Predictions next week.
Woohoo!
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
I have my secretary pick the game. So.
Perfect.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.